Grant us thy peace. Amen. This is indeed our prayer today, as it is most days, perhaps today more than usual. And this was also Paul's prayer when he wrote to the church in Philippi. He began his letter with a greeting of grace and peace, and he repeated the promise of God's peace in the closing chapter of that letter. Last week, Pastor Joel talked about God the Creator and how we are made in the image of God, so we are makers too. And one phrase that he said struck me, make a disciple. This letter to the Philippians helps us to make and be better disciples. I'm going to begin with one verse from chapter 1, verse 6, and then I'll go to chapter 4. In the beginning of this letter, Paul is thanking God for the partnership that he has with the Philippians, their partnership in the gospel. And then he continues, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And then the letter goes on to encourage the Philippians, even in the midst of trouble and persecution, to have the mind of Christ and press on faithfully as they await the Savior to bring everything under his control. Now then, Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9, a closing appeal for steadfastness and unity, and then the final exhortations. Paul writes, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have preached on this passage a few times, here and in other churches. It addresses such a range of emotions and experiences as it reminds us how to live together and to live as faithful disciples of our Lord. Sometimes I turn to this passage in pastoral visits too, in times of rejoicing and giving thanks, in anxious times, and especially when we need to hear those words about peace. It's the peace I needed to hear this week. And Pastor Joel shared that verse about the peace of God when he visited Leah and Kathy a week ago. The peace that transcends all understanding. The peace that comes through the love and light of Christ, who said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That peace, that is the peace we all long for. Doug Bratt, one of the pastors who writes for the Center of Excellence in Preaching, also focused on peace as he wrote about Philippians 4 for this week. Bratt's introduction to this text reminds us that God, through Christ's saving life, death, and resurrection, gave peace with himself, not just to people, but also the whole creation. God did everything necessary to turn God's adopted children from enemies into God's dearly loved people. God, in fact, he says, reconciled the whole creation to himself through the saving work of Jesus Christ. Bratt goes on to say, Paul suggests that in order to experience the full benefits of that peace, Jesus' friends must live a cruciform life that's shaped by the work of the Holy Spirit. Those who wish to know God's complete peace, let the Spirit help them to cultivate certain Christian practices. That's how Bratt introduces this passage. And those Christian practices are evident in these verses. We can begin with what Paul urges in verse 1. Dear friends, stand firm in the Lord and stand together. Euodia and Syntyche, who have been fellow workers, partners in sharing the gospel, they need help to be reconciled to one another with the mind of Christ. Just as a body has many parts and each part has a different role, so also people have different gifts, maybe even different perspectives, yet they are all still part of the one body. So help them to be at peace with one another again. And this example of Euodia and Syntyche may find some resonance among us at Neyland in this season too. Not so much that there are particular individuals here who are in conflict with each other. Yet we know that there are a range of ideas among us that have potential to bring division. So we too may be encouraged to help each other, to remind each other that we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That when we share the mind of Christ, we are one. When we work together, we may experience the fullness of God's peace. The peace of God is a gift of God's grace, promised to those who follow Jesus. What precedes the promises of peace that are in verses 7 and 9 are the final exhortations, or the directives that Paul lays out as he calls the Philippians and us to acts of discipleship. Paul tells them, rejoice. Celebrate what the Lord is doing. Even in times of trouble, find that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Be considerate and kind. And then he inserts, the Lord is near. We can do these things because the Lord is near. God is with us by his Spirit, as Jesus promised, I will be with you. And the Lord is near and will return soon. And then Paul continues, do not be anxious. Do pray. Talk to God about everything, giving thanks, asking for what you need. And as we remain in prayer, in constant conversation with our God, we learn to trust God. Even when there's trouble in your life, thank God for sending his Spirit to encourage and comfort you. Giving thanks turns our thoughts away from worry and trains us to respond to God's boundless generosity in Christ Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, in all of creation. So Paul teaches us, give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, bringing all your requests to God. And here comes the promise, peace. Do all these things and. The and here suggests therefore. Then, when we commune with God in prayer and thanksgiving, then God will fill us with peace. God's peace. Theologian Gordon Fee wrote about how deliberate Paul is in regarding that connection between prayer and God's alternative to anxiety. He says it is affirmation and promise. As the Philippians submit their situation to God in prayer with thanksgiving, what they may expect from God is that his peace will guard their hearts and minds as they remain in Christ Jesus. In contrast to other letters, Paul does not express peace as an imperative, Fee says, but as an indicative, closely relating to their trusting in God in prayer. In other words, Paul is not demanding that they get peace. He is letting them know that when they pray to God, when they trust God with their requests, the peace of God will be given. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace comes from the one who is a God of peace, as we see in verse 9. So when people live in communion with God, in joy and prayer and thanksgiving, then and they receive the peace of God. The peace of God which transcends all understanding. The peace of God is incomprehensible, isn't it? We can experience it even when we are traveling through dark waters. That inexplicable peace, it's beyond comprehension. As Fee says, peace comes because prayer is an expression of trust. And God's people do not need to have it all figured out in order to trust him. The peace that transcends may also mean that the peace of God is higher, much better than any human would be able to achieve on their own. And though we don't understand how, the transcendent peace of God does sustain us. Sometimes, even when we're deeply discouraged, we truly experience that peace of Christ. As Paul wrote, it will guard our hearts and thoughts. It's like God puts a shield of armor around our hearts and minds to protect us from being completely shattered by the bad news we hear or by the pain we suffer. The peace of God can keep us from despair. And yet, we may wonder how to experience the peace of God in this week. We hear the news from Israel and Gaza, and we tilt toward despair. Where is peace? I think that peace may be quite capacious. It can also make room for other things, other feelings. Experiencing the peace of God within may even allow us to feel anger, righteous anger. It may require us to cry out against evil. Peace may help us to know that our actions and words need to be more healing than harmful. God's peace can make space for pain and anger and grief, can allow us to sit in lament for a while. For we know that we are not alone. Other people sit there with us. And God sits with us too. Even in the midst of anger and lament and protest, we sense that the Lord is near, and God's presence and peace will remind you that one day you will rest in God's eternal peace. I believe that gave hope to Kathy Reinders. And sometimes we hear reports from our friends in Haiti. They do not experience much peace in this world with all the violence that surrounds them. Yet they live faithfully, and they put their faith in Christ, for they trust in the future, when Christ returns, For then they will have peace and freedom from fear. Perhaps they are recalling the shield, the armor, in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, which says, "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." The shield of God's power and the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace may also help us to have the mind of Christ, which is described in Philippians 2, a mind that is humble and obedient and serves others. So what's on your mind? What are you thinking about these days? Paul wants us to fill our hearts and our thoughts, our minds, with what is true and honorable and just and wholesome and beautiful and attractive, anything that is worthy of praise. And you will be transformed by the renewing of your minds, he writes in Romans 12. And your thoughts will lead to virtuous actions, is suggested here. Paul says, you've learned from me, so put these virtues into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. And again, another promise. Put these things into practice. Practice being a faithful disciple. Then the God of peace will be with you. God, who is so powerful and gracious, is also the God of love and compassion and peace. The God of peace will be with you. This God of peace has made you a disciple. So live into that workmanship as God continues that work in you and will bring it to completion. Rejoice. Do not be anxious. Be thankful. Pray. Think about whatever is good and put it into practice. And especially pray. When we do not know what else to do, we can pray. And we must pray. If we believe that the Lord is near, that the Lord is full of love and mercy, that the Lord hears our prayers, we must pray. So today, spend more time in prayer, begging God to move in the hearts of leaders in the world, to find another way, to turn from violent reprisals, to use words instead of weapons. Pray that God will protect people as they move to safer places. Maybe even light candles as you pray. Keep on praying, and the God of peace and the peace of God will guard your hearts and thoughts. I've read a lot of news this week, maybe you have too, and a lot of articles and prayers and poems, so many that I wanted to share with you, but I chose just one called Love is Bigger Than War. It's a sort of lament prayer poem by John Rodel, who also wrote the book Hey God, Hey John, and he paired it with this image in his post. This is what he writes. I can't make the world be peaceful. I can't stall tanks from roaring down roads. I can't prevent children from having to hide in bunkers. I can't keep a madman from creating heartbreaking headlines. I can't convince the news to stop turning war into a video game. I can't silence the sound of bombs tearing neighborhoods apart. I can't turn a guided missile into a bouquet of flowers. I can't make a warmonger have an ounce of empathy. I can't convince diplomats to quit playing truth or dare. I can't deflect a sniper's bullet from turning a wife into a widow. I can't stave off a schoolyard being reduced to ash and rubble. I can't do any of that. The only thing I can do is love the next person I encounter without any conditions or strings. To love my neighbor so fearlessly that it starts a ripple that stretches from one horizon to the next. I can't force peace on the world, but I can become a force of peace in the world Because sometimes all it takes is a single lit candle in the darkness to start a movement. O Spirit, let me be a candle of comfort in this world. Let me burn with peace. Let us burn with peace, friends. God has begun a good work in you, the work of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord is with us as the Spirit continues to work in us to bring it to completion. The Lord is near, and God will make all things new. And there will be everlasting peace. So then, friends, be joyful in the Lord. Be gentle with one another. Don't be anxious. Pray continually with thanksgiving. In whatever you are facing right now, remember that the Lord is near. And the God of peace will be with you and guard you with the peace of God. Let's pray. O God of peace, we plead with you to really be near, to be with us. Protect your people everywhere and bring peace. Lift our anxiety, stir joy in us, and help us to live faithfully in what we think and say and do. Even as we ask for your help, we give you thanks, for you are with us. So pour out your peace that passes understanding, and keep us from despair, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.